Again, this is Chemnitz versus Tolkien. We proceed.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court.
My name is Larry Carl. I'm an attorney in Schuyler. I represent Crestwood Farms, LLC, State Chemnitz. This case for specific performance goes back to the finding of the lower court based primarily on the fact that there was an arrearage in rent as part of a lease agreement that also contained an option. And the lower court finds, I think, basically that because of that arrearage, it prevented the plaintiff from exercising her option to purchase the subject property. The court said that there was a strict requirement that the option be exercised within 60 days, as the lease agreement provided that the option needed to be exercised in 60 days following the death of the second of two lessors in the lease. It didn't require any type of actual notice by client that, in fact, there had been the death of the second party. In fact, she did not know. She did not receive any kind of actual notice, and she, in fact, did not exercise her option until she received actual notice about 6 months later.
Counsel, but she didn't make any payments for the rent, either the monthly payment or the semi-annual payment, between the time of death and in August when she discovered the death. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
If she would have made those payments, is it fair to presume that she then would have known that both parties had passed?
No, I don't think that is fair to presume, Your Honor, because when she did find out in July of 2011 that Mrs. Tholkin had, in fact, died, because she got a notice from the defendant's attorney. She went over to talk to him and asked him, why didn't you tell me? Because I didn't have to. I don't think he would have told her in any event. She would call him each time there was a payment to be made and say, I would have improvements that I need to make to the property. We need a new well. We need a new roof. We need insulation. And he would say, pay it when you can.
The attorney would say this?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The attorney would say this?
This is the defendant, Larry Tholkin. Okay. The personal representative of his mother's estate.
That he had said that during this particular period of time between the death of his mother and July of
each time, the testimony of my client was each time there was a payment due, she would have contact with him to say, I have this improvement to make in the property. Is it okay if it's postponed? And he would say, make it when you can. In fact, he admitted in his testimony that he agreed to postponements.
What is the evidence in the record, though, from the time of the mother's death until your client filed the request to exercise the option, that she had those conversations with Larry Tholkin?
Her testimony, also his testimony, he would say that while he agreed to postpone the payments, he was harassing her to make it as soon as she could.
But is that just, are you saying generally, but in that limited time frame, what evidence is there of those kinds of conversations in that limited time frame?
The testimony was generally to all the times when payments were due, and there were payments due, obviously, monthly and then semi-annually during that period of time. And her testimony was that each time a payment was due, she would make a call to him to talk about that and ask that it could be postponed, and he would readily agree. I submit that what was going on was really scheming to prevent her from exercising her option.
But you haven't argued anything about concealment here or anything like that, have you?
No. Simply a lack of informing. And it's consistent through the time from May of 2009, when everyone agrees all sums of arrearage were paid. And then what happens is he continually tells her it's okay to postpone it. And then his mother dies, and he doesn't provide actual notice, as he's required to do under the probate code. He's appointed as the personal representative of his mother's estate 13 days after she died in January 2011. He provides no notice to my client. She's an interested person. She's a claimant. She's a creditor. There's no notice, actual notice provided, and I submit...
Is there evidence in this case that an action had been commenced in the county court alleging that they had not received proper notices from the estate?
The action was commenced following the notice in July of 2011 in the county court. And that's an interesting part of this case.
Well, you commenced that action?
No.
No, we're talking about the probate now.
The probate proceeding.
Probate proceeding is already established and going prior to the July date when your client exercised the option.
That's correct.
Bring any action, or is there our record reflect that any action was brought to establish that she was entitled to notice and that the probate attorney, person representative, did not give her proper notice?
No, there's no separate action. That was argued in the motion for specific, or in the case.
There's nothing in the lease agreement that indicates that anyone had to give your client notice.
That is correct. The lease agreement is silent.
And there's no legal determination by the probate court that she was entitled to notice. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor. It's strictly an argument of law and the probate code and who is entitled to actual notice. It was 6 months later in July then, after the mother died, that a notice is sent. And what's interesting about that is there were two notices sent. One was a notice of termination, straightforward, you're terminated. The other was a 3-day motion to vacate. The provision of the lease required, in a default for arrearage, there would be a notice to cure. There was never a notice to cure to her in this case. And what's also interesting about that is when they claimed a default in 2000 and 2009, the notices, exhibits 21 and 22, the notices then specifically say you have the right to cure in 30 days, your amount of rent that's unpaid is so much, absolutely silent. Then they sent the notices out in 2011, and that's when my client first learned that, in fact, death of Mrs. Falcon had taken place, and within 9 days, she had paid the option price. Once she learned that, in fact, that Mrs. Falcon had died, she paid the option price to the attorney or the defendant. I think with regard to the testimony is he admitted to a motive of not wanting her to find out that the option was, in fact, something that needed to be triggered. He hid that from her. He caused delay in her ability to try to exercise that because he knew, after being there since 1997 and making substantial improvements of $40,000 of not including labor and sweat equity, she was seriously going to exercise her option. I would ask the court to allow me to reserve the balance of my time for...
May it please the court, my name is Jacqueline Tessendorf, and I represent Larry Falcon, who is the personal representative of the estate of Viola Falcon. We are asking this court to affirm the lower court finding that Mrs. Kemnitz was not entitled to the equitable remedy of specific performance. In particular, he had not lived up to the terms of the agreement and did not exercise the option within time. Ms. Falcon, first of all, Mrs. Kemnitz was not in substantial compliance with the terms of the lease agreement. This was a lease agreement for monthly rental payment for house and outbuildings, and biannual rent was due every 6 months for the farm ground. And in 2009, Larry Falcon, as the son of the elderly Viola Falcon, caused an action to be filed against Mrs. Kemnitz to get her current on the rent. And from that time forward, she once again fell into her pattern of not paying the rent.
Is there anything in the lease agreement that would have provided for her waiving that option if she became delinquent and...
There was a term in the lease agreement that the lessors could have found her in default of the lease and terminated the lease for that default. And so, but the mother was still alive. Mr. Tolkien, as POA, did not have any direction from his mother to terminate the lease before the death. The agreement was that the lessees had the right to lease the farm ground and the house during the lifetime of the lessors. Then upon their death, they had the option to purchase the agreement. And the option was very specific and clear with a price and an amount and the requirements of the lessees to exercise that option.
Can you speak to the notice issue that Mr. Carl has raised in terms of any obligation by your client to notify his client?
Yes, Your Honor. We don't believe that Mr. Falcon had a duty under the lease agreement to notify Ms. Chemnitz that his parents had passed away. The lease agreement was silent as to any notice provision. As far as under the probate code, first of all, just the actions of Mr. Falcon, he, within 9 days of his mother being passing, January 27, 2011, on February 9, 2011, he was appointed as personal representative of the estate of his mother. Right after her death, the obituary was posted in the newspaper. There was evidence in the record that the obituary was in the Columbus Telegram and in the Lee World and also on the funeral home website. And then the notice to creditors that is required under the statute and to interested parties was that was complied with. Mr. Tolkien did not believe that Mrs. Chemnitz, as a lessee who was in default or as a holdover tenant, was an interested party in his mother's estate. He notified the heirs at law and sent that the notice that was published within 5 days to the interested parties. And as Judge Inbody noted, there was no objection to the notice requirements or claim filed with the estate or any of those types of things that are proper under the probate code for the notice requirement. And the important part of that notice that was published in the Columbus Telegram was it published and ran 3 consecutive weeks, all within that 60-day period that Mrs. Chemnitz would have had the opportunity to exercise the option. If we had allowed her to exercise, I think it would have been our position at that time. She was in default. She was in arrears, $21,000 at the time of his mother's death. I believe the case law is clear on options to purchase, that you have to be in compliance with the agreement and live up to.
But there's nothing that requires that in the lease or in the document itself,
that
lease agreement, that she be current or that the LLC be current when they exercise their option to purchase.
There may not be anything necessarily in black and white in the agreement, but I think my understanding of option to purchase law is you have to live up to the entire agreement. This agreement was for rent of farm ground, and she had to, that was the bargain, that Falcons would receive rent during their lifetime, and then she would get to purchase the ground. They never forgave her not, but she was not supposed to, she was to continue to meet her obligations of paying the rent. That was never forgiven. So I think if you look at some of the other cases that the court, such as Erdman versus that case talks about if you are, you have to be in compliance with the lease agreement in order to exercise the option. And
Mr. Carroll has argued that his client was delinquent several occasions, and whenever she was going to be delinquent, she would always contact your client. And she testified to the fact that she did this on many occasions. To your recollection, is there any testimony as to any contact being made between the date of his mother's death and the July date when she exercised the option?
My recollection is there was no evidence that either party contacted each other to talk about the payment of rent after January 27, 2011. The first contact that my client would have made with Mrs. Kimnitz about the rent that was in arrears would have been the notice to quit and the notice of termination that were served on her by the Platte County Sheriff. The testimony was that throughout the 14 years, my client harassed Mrs. Kimnitz on behalf of his parents to pay the rent. He testified that he contacted her approximately 300 times to get her to pay the rent. He also, I would disagree with Mr. Carroll's characterization of him saying it was okay that he didn't pay rent on time. What I remember from the record is my client testified that he would take the money when he could get it, that he would accept the rent when she would pay it, that he wanted to get every penny. It wasn't that, oh, it's okay, it's fine that you're not paying rent. I expect you to pay rent in the future. So I would disagree with the characterization of my client's testimony on that point. The lower court was correct in construing the option strictly. The tenant did not comply, even if you look at the notice and give Mrs. Kimnitz the benefit of the doubt from the time that she was served with the 3-day notice to quit and the termination, July 27, 2011, still wasn't caught up with the rent until October 3rd, 2011. That's from Exhibit 25, which is her own exhibit. She never was in compliance at that time. And it just doesn't seem fair in equity that a person can not live up to the agreement, not pay rent, not pay the cropland rent, even when she had the use of the farm and arguably all the profits of the farm. And then when the personal representative is trying to administer the estate and evict the tenant, then she decides to try to exercise the option.
What about her $40,000 in alleged leasehold improvements?
Your Honor, that is addressed in the lease agreement. The parties agreed that any improvements that were done on the property would stay with the property. And given the fact that she'd lived there for 14 years, her rent was $125 per month. Approximately $40,000 over 14 years is about $3,000 a year of improvements. Seems like normal wear and tear improvements that could be made to the house. Plus, she knew that if she made those improvements, they would stay with the property even if she didn't exercise the option. So I don't believe that that's enough of a hardship to justify not awarding equitable or denying the specific performance.
It's my understanding that this is approximately 160-acre plot of land. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And is there some of that land that's farmable?
Yes.
And who got the profits from the crops that were grown during the period of this lease?
It was cash rent lease, so the tenant would have gotten the profits.
And was there any evidence that brought up how much she received during this period of time?
No, the only evidence was that she didn't pay the cash rent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does Mr. Carl have any time left?
Mr. Carl, do you agree that your client was able to rent part of this land for farming purposes?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that she received income from that?
She did. And
but she didn't turn right around and use that money to pay the rent that was due?
She did not. She put that money primarily to improvements.
Is that a problem?
I don't think it's a problem because I think it was excused. I think, as Mr. Falcon testified at the hearing, he just said, pay it when you can. One other thing about his testimony, Your Honor, is his testimony that his memory was bad. He had a stroke a year and a half before he testified at trial of his case, and he said, quote, things got cleared away and buried. So in terms of what conversations took place, I would say he's not the best steward of how that went forward. I would also call to the court something I find very...
Excuse me, but Judge Steinke put some credibility to his testimony.
I suppose he must have...
To come to the conclusions he came to? And it's not our job to determine who should be believed, is it?
I think the court tries this based on the record, and I know you weren't there, and you have to place some weight on the trial judge's observation, but that was his testimony. I think Judge Steinke looked at this and said, you're in arrears, 60 days have passed from her death, and that's as far as I'm looking. I think that's the finding of the court. I think what's troubling, in part, was his testimony, Mr. Thalkin's testimony. Why did you wait to let her know, Mr. Thalkin? Because it would be harder for her to cough it up. I mean, he's blatant about what he's trying to do here and hiding the ball about her finding out about her right to exercise the option. The other issue, Your Honor, that is a matter of law, is that the rent, the rearage, is a completely different issue than is the issue of exercising the option. I don't think one depends on the other. And I think that's a fundamental part of this case and one I wish the court would take a look at. And we respectfully move you to reverse the finding of the lower court. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. The matter is submitted. The next case is